100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast. One a day until the day I die.com. Not dead yet. And it's Sunday, the weekly challenge. I post a topic, you come up with the stories. Let's see, what are the topics here? This will take me a second. Squad, value, callous, iron, bunk, loner, wispy, divert, or divert, however you pronounce it. You want me to just get right to the stories? All right, here we go. Here are some stories. You can see all the who and what and all. That's all up on oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Let's listen.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and we're still in Canada. And tonight's story is called Iron Bunk. We were hired to move the Batlofs from Bender's station to New Deadman, a little more than a cluster of tents at the railhead, pointed straight at the transfers. Timmy and Frank had crossed the northern rift last night, and Morley's boys had emerged from the last of the Simon dust storms, a few souls light. The food was swelling, but by all accounts, not what one might call tasty. Of course, this was not the last of the lack of amenities. No down-filled beds. Angus Deadman needed hardened cowpokes, so the bunkhouse was outfitted with iron bunks. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Hi ho, everyone. Leiana here for another weekly challenge. Things are sunny, but not too hot in Michigan right now. I don't miss the Kentucky weather, and I don't even want to remember what it was like in Texas, because I'm sure it's hot. For this week's Pick 2 Challenge number 588, I have the following story titled, Fly By Flinging, with music by bensound.com. I love Dorothy, don't get me wrong. She saved Oz. There isn't much to complain about except her hosting skills. We crossed realms for a visit, and as great as it was to see her, dinner was something by a McDonald, and watching fields grow are entertainment. Okay. The worst was sleeping arrangements. She gave me an iron bunk. Sure, I can't feel, but it's kind of the principle of things. Scarecrow got a bag of straw. I mean, isn't that basically what he is? And the lion? Ugh. A rug. The skin of an old mate. Yeah. Poor guy hasn't stopped weeping.
Hello. This is Philip Norville Joe Carroll's computer. I'm giving him crap, again, and won't recognize the recording input devices. You can find chapters of The Price of Friendship on Wattpad.com if you search for Norville Joe. Here's his entry for the weekly challenge number 588 with a Pick 2 challenge. Here we go. The squad leader valued a good bologna and had several of them hanging from the iron springs of the bunk above his. Every night as he lay there, he counted them. He jealously guarded them from his men, the platoon sergeants, and the company commander. Callous to their hunger, he hoarded the preserved meat, refusing to share with any. At times his men tried to divert his attention and steal one of his giant sausages, but to no avail. When he went on leave, he packed them all in his duffel bag. He ate them, alone, in his mother's basement. So, Muncie. How's the party bus coming along? Anyway. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
This is Serendipity. And here's my story for this week. Why is it they always describe us as a loner? Someone with few friends, kept to themselves. The last person you'd expect to have scores of victims buried under the patio. So, I'm here to set the record straight. I'm not a loner, I value the company of others. I like to have people around me. So I prefer my friends to be dead and dismembered. Does that make me a bad person? And, unlike you, my friends are always nearby, they never leave me, and I always know exactly where they are. Can you say that about your friends?
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story. The value of being a loner is difficult to explain, they tell me. The conversation went from bra sizes to philosophical states of mind in a heartbeat. In this job, we can't be loners. The girls nodded. One sat in the back. Teamwork! More nodding. We have to stick together! Emphatic nodding. Later that day, all dressed up for the graduation gala, each went about their lives, enjoying the moment. They didn't notice she was outside, watching the fiery sunset. That would be the first of many fiery sunsets she would go through alone. The squad made her an undercover agent. And this was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Tura Brazzino here with a story on the words callous and value. A man walked by a pond where he saw that a little girl had fallen in and would drown. But he was wearing a fine suit and did not want to ruin it by wading into the pond to save her. He was not callous, for he was about to meet some very wealthy people, to solicit donations for the charity that he ran, and they would never take him seriously if he showed up muddy and bedraggled. With these funds, he would save far more lives than that of one little girl. The decision was clear, he told himself.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher. I should actually say good evening, since that's the time it is around here. Big thunderstorm just passed, so I think it's quiet enough to record. Anyway, I'm here for week 588, and it's pick two this week. I've picked several of the words, so we'll just go on with the story, and you can see which ones I have. This story is called The Loner. The bum stood apart from his fellow homeless men. A wispy-haired but powerfully built man, he was a loner among loners. He unsuccessfully tried to divert attention from himself as the police upended the shelter. They searched the bunk beds and the residents' meager belongings. Their goal was a murder weapon, believed to be a hard cylindrical object. The cops found nothing, and the squad soon left. The loner smiled inwardly. He waited until the other homeless cleared the room until evening. He then gave the iron bar providing a leg of his bunk bed a twist, ensuring a tight fit, and left the shelter, a callous sneer on his face. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning, all you people in cyberspace. And for those of you who aren't in cyberspace, where are you? Here are some stories. It's pick two this week. I can't remember which topics I chose. You'll just have to try and find them in the stories. The first one's called Stan. I'll have another glass of that wispy. Sorry, pal. I think you've had enough whiskey for tonight. How about heading off home? Stan looked unsteadily at me through glazed eyes, nodded, then weaved his way through the bar to the door. Sometimes I felt bad about Stan. Sure, he drank plenty, but it was only the cheap whiskey, and he was always good to pay the bill. Idly I pocketed the $100, swapping it for 5 from my pocket for the till. Just as well Stan was always drunk, and had no concept of the value of whiskey. And my second story is called Callous. I bought my wife an iron for her birthday. She called me Callous. I thought it was the perfect gift, practical and far better than her old one. If anything, it was her who was callous when she smashed the iron into my temple, causing permanent crippling brain damage. Or so she thought. I'm fine, really. I just make sure I drool when she's around, flopping about when she's dressing me, and having accidents when she wipes my butt. So, I'm fine, but she's a mess. And maybe I have become callous myself. But my shirts are never creased. Here's another. It's called Jimmy. Jimmy Iron Fist Thompson was the most feared member of Strike Team Alpha. Unfortunately, he had a terrible drug problem. We joked that he'd put the crack into the crack strike squad. Not that the drugs affected his mastery of strategic command. If anything, they sharpened his wits beyond human capabilities, or so it seemed. So we tolerated it, turned a blind eye, and played down his failings. Of course, it turned out those drugs were bad for him, after all. We may have called him Iron Fist, but unfortunately, one part of him would always remain permanently, humiliatingly soft. There you go. I'm done. I'm off. Goodbye.
Take a trip with me to planet Z.
Everything that comes out of Mad Alfred's mouth is absolute nonsense. Today he's sitting in a park, screaming "I'm drowning" at passers-by. I knew Alfred back when he worked in the ironworks. He rushed into the foundry to save a man and took a blow to the head. I still have the cracked helmet. I use it in safety lectures. This helped a man survive a blow that should have killed him, I say. But in a way, it did kill him. Albert, my friend, is gone. Dead in spirit. Killed while helping me survive what should have killed me.
And there you have it. A whole bunch of stories on that pick two topic. I'm not going to get into the list. I hope you enjoyed this one. It was really good. And we're going to have more. There's like stories every day until I die. And you know the URL, oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Show notes, text if you don't understand what anybody is saying. I certainly don't know what's going on at this point. I probably need more cold medicine. The next topic, loot. So don't be a galoot. Be a part of it. Give it a shot. Give it a try. You know, what's the worst that can happen? I get your email address, I reverse lookup, I find your home address, and I send flowers, and everyone feels it's all creepy. Do you want flowers, Lana? Because this is how you get flowers. Thank you for listening and being a part of this. And as always, keep it brief.